Good morning, everybody. It's 10:15 a.m. I'm Dr. Richard Guarino, Chairman of the Chiropractic Board. This meeting is called to order. Board members, you can turn on your microphones, and we're going to get a roll call of board members present.
Ms. Powell?
Present.
Dr. Bennett?
Present.
Dr. Knopf?
Here.
Dr. Guarino?
Present. Thank you. I'd like to recognize any newly licensed chiropractors in the last year. Welcome to the state, and you are required to attend one board meeting in that first year after your new licensure, so thanks for attending today. I hope that you find this meeting informative. And we're going to go ahead and start with our tab number, letter D, is slated for a formal hearing. Tab number one is the matter of Dr. Troy Shively.
So, yes, Dr. Shively is not present, is not signed in.
Okay. All right, thank you. And I understand that, in fairness to Dr. Shively, we want to make sure that he is notified of this meeting today, and at the moment we do not have confirmation of that.
Right, so on the advice of counsel, I am going to send another notice of the hearing for next month. And if that is acceptable to you, the motion is to continue this to next month.
Okay, and so...
The state has no objection.
Okay, great. So do we need to vote on that, or can I just direct that?
I would vote.
Okay, let's go ahead and vote then. I'm going to make a motion that we continue this case to another date in order to give Dr. Shively proper notification.
I'll second.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the ayes have it, and the motion carries, and we'll continue tab number one. Tab number two is a matter of Dr. Jordan Ball.
And same issue has arisen with that?
No, he's not on the agenda.
No, actually, that was vacated.
Okay.
That was vacated.
Okay. So then we're going to move on to tab number three. Under initial action on complaints, this will be the matter of Dr. Robert Geer. Is he present today?
Dr. Geer is signed in and his attorney.
Hi, come on up with your counsel and you can have a seat.
I'm Jeff Hunter. Dr. Geer is here. He's got two cases before the board. I'm his counsel on the one designated 013. He is meeting with his counsel on 05.
Okay, we're
right at the moment.
Okay, so you're you'll be the next tab then. If you can go ahead and tell them that their number is up, I'd appreciate it.
Sure.
And can invite them in.
No problem.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Morrison, you can have a seat.
Thank you. And, my friend is on his way. He's just moving a little slower than I am.
Okay.
Which is slow, because I'm slow. I apologize for that. I thought you guys had a formal hearing first.
Understood. Hi, Dr. Geer.
Good morning.
You can have a seat, and I'd like you to introduce yourself for the record, for a recorded record.
Sure. David Morrison, representing Dr. Robert Geer, complaint number 2018-055.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Geer.
Robert Geer.
Thank you. Dr. Kolash, can you give us a board briefing?
Yes. In the case number 2018-055 and Dr. Robert Geer, allegations include an incorrect diagnosis, danger to the health and safety and welfare of the public, improper billing, inadequate examination, incompetent or malpractice, and failure to maintain adequate records, and unprofessional conduct.
Thank you. Mr. Morrison, would you like to have any opening remarks?
Sure. In terms of, not necessarily in order, but in terms of what was listed as far as the allegations are concerned, first off, I would like to state that I don't think any issues or allegations or complaints of malpractice are within the purview of the board. In terms for legal determinations, certainly professional conduct and otherwise, yes. But in terms of determining whether or not there's any legal ramifications from that determination, I would ask the board to not make those determinations and leave that to other courts that may or may not be involved. So that's number one. Number two, as far as some of the allegations, I'll address them in general. Certainly, Dr. Gere would admit that some more detailed note-taking needs to be done in his office, which he is currently taking care of. He has a doctor that's working with him that does all the note-taking as the treatment is rendered. And we would state that any examination of his current records would certainly pass muster from anything from the board. Some of the things were not written down, as you probably have seen from looking at the records. That's been fixed. In terms of the danger to health and welfare of the public, we feel that the timing of what went on with this particular patient, JD, in terms of the allegations, Dr. Year first treated or saw JD on February 20th. Following that visit, he referred him out for some x-rays. JD brought the x-rays with him in the form of a CD on the 5th of March, in which time he looked at the CD and recommended a course of treatment. Dr. Gere certainly will indicate to you he did not detect a mass, as it has been alleged, on those x-rays. With respect to the following treatment that he rendered, he had 1, 2, 4 treatments. When JD continued to complain of numbness and tingling in his legs, he then referred him out for an MRI. When the MRI came back, he immediately referred him to a neurologist for care. So in terms of the timing and sequence of events, Dr. Gere has indicated to me and to the board that he did not see the report of the radiologist until March 17th, which is immediately following the report of the radiologist. The very next visit is when he referred him for the MRI and stopped treatment. The disconnect, or certainly some of the allegations that have been made by the board that affect your analysis, is what happened between March 5th and March 17th. In terms of internal procedure, it failed. That's really the direct response, is it failed. When a fax came in, communication from the radiologist came in, it was not brought to Dr. Gere's attention until he didn't actually look at that report until March 17th. That's been fixed within the office. The new protocol within his office is that any written documentation that comes into his office must be initialed and seen by him within 24 hours. And so it doesn't just go into the file, it doesn't get put in a file by staff, it gets seen by the doctor. With respect to the phone call that allegedly took place, again, that needs to be documented in the file. Dr. Gere understands that, and going forward, that has also been corrected.
Thank you. And for clarification, the patient JD is not signed in and not present. Oh, you are here. Come on up, please, and have a seat, and I'd like you to introduce yourself for the record.
My name is
Jay. And we're going to use initials today to protect identities, and we'll redact that from the record. So you're speaking on behalf of yourself. She is not your counsel. She will not be testifying today.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Dr. Gear, you're a naturopath and a licensed chiropractor, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. At this point of our investigation, you know, this is under our tab for initial actions on complaints. There will be no cross-examination. We're going to ask questions to try to get some factual information today. And if our board members feel like this should escalate to something that may be of a potential disciplinary nature, it will be forwarded to a formal interview where the appropriate actions can be taken at that point. So I'm going to allow my board members to ask questions first, starting with the doctor, and then we'll come on over and we'll ask some questions over for the patient as well. So, board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Gear or his counsel? Ms. Powell?
Did the radiologist, when he handed you the CD to take with him, did he make any comments at all about what his findings were?
Are you directing that to JD or to
JD? We're going to start with the doctor, and then when we finish, then we'll move on over to the patient, okay?
I'm sorry.
So do you have any questions for the doctor?
No questions for the doctor.
Okay, Dr. Knopf, do you have any?
Dr. Gear, you said that a CD with imaging was produced, and that was reviewed about March 7th. Is that correct?
Yes. I believe that's about... March 9th,
and there was no imaging report detailed at that time. It was just production of the CD and images.
Yeah, just the CD with the images on it.
Well, that again, that's where some of the disconnect comes in. I'm sure you've seen the actual report from the radiologist. He indicates there that there was a fax sent over to Dr. Beer's office on that date, on March 5th. Dr. Gear didn't see the report until March 17th.
Okay.
And there was no report that accompanied the disc.
Now,
when JD presented it at the office on March 9th.
Looking at the radiology report in our board meeting materials, it says that Dr. Gear was notified of the findings via phone on the current date. So you're saying this was a fax and not a phone call?
I'm going to let Dr. Gear address that.
Okay.
No, I had two offices at that time. One in Payson, where I saw most all my patients, and one day a week in Phoenix, where I had been seeing patients for 50 years prior to that time. I remember getting a phone call. It was on my cell phone. I was in the middle of treating other patients. I did not get the name. I heard that there was a problem. The radiologist said he was going to fax the material over. I said, okay, to myself, when I get back to Payson, I'll see a fax. When I got back to Payson, that was not brought to my attention. That person is no longer in my employ who would have handled that at that time. And it was put in my chart without me ever being told that it was put there. And so then I... found it later, and
thank you.
That's what happened on that.
Dr. Knopf, do you have any further questions?
No, that was the line I was going down. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Dr. Bennett, do you have any questions for Dr. Gear?
I do, Dr. Gear. Dr. Wayne Bennett. First off, let me say I've followed your career and your contribution to our profession over the years. I have a lot of respect for the work that you've done for us. It's unfortunate we find ourselves here at this point in time dealing with these issues. The remedial actions that you have initiated relative to the record keeping, which you stipulated, your attorneys stipulated to have been present during this time, and the administrative issues that apparently kept very critical information from you, when did those remedial actions get initiated in your clinic, sir?
Every single time I found a problem, I put into place what was needed to remedy the problem. I did not wait. I took action immediately.
Can you give me a time frame?
And this one person, who's no longer in my employ, had a problem a couple of times, and so I had to let her go. And we have people there now who are paying strict attention to my directions, so there's not a problem any longer.
And to address your question, I'd have to look back as to when the initial complaint came out, and also talk with Dr. Gear, but those were recommended by myself when we first had contact.
Okay.
So probably within sometime mid-2019.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Gear, did you personally examine this this patient on his presentation?
February 20th, 2018.
I took a history from him, and I did a palpatory exam, I believe. That's what I do on every patient. We had a pretty good history on him. And then when I validated it with my consultation and the palpation examination, which excuse me just a moment. There we go. Then I sent him for x-rays. I said we could follow through on this and sent him for x-rays so that I could have a further evaluation of what was wrong with him. I did not do a full-blown orthopedic neurological type of examination on it at that time.
Okay, and I noticed from the records that some segmental EMG, computerized range of motion, I noticed in the records that on the dates of service... I'll start from the beginning.
Thank you.
I noticed in the records that segmental EMG was performed,
yes.
A computerized range of motion. Some of these standardized protocols that were performed. Who performed those tests?
A registered nurse in my office at that time.
Okay.
I believe. Yeah, February 27th, yeah.
Is that person identified anywhere in the record? I could not find anything there.
She worked for me for a short time. I don't think she's. She went on from my office to the hospital, worked at the hospital. So right now, I have another doctor in my office who does this testing on all patients.
My impression here is that your examination of the patient initially consisted of some palpatory findings, some general assessment that another potentially qualified but unidentified person performed some other forms of testing, and that was the extent of the initial evaluation of this patient. Is that correct?
That and the x-rays, yes.
Which was not performed in your office, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and that leads me to another question, Dr. Gear. The protocol, when I looked at the x-ray order, this patient presented, I believe, with some localized pain. Is that correct?
Yeah, he complained of rib pain.
Yes, okay. Yes. And your imaging order was for what I think was referred to as the Dr. Gear protocol.
Yes.
With the imaging center, which consisted of cervical spine x-rays, thoracic spine x-rays, and lumbar spine x-rays.
Yes.
Is this a protocol? I assume based upon that that's a standard x-ray protocol that you follow with new patients?
Most all patients, not every patient.
And can you justify why you do that?
Yes, most people I see have had a problem for quite some time prior to coming to me. They do not have a first... pain episode. This is generally it's a pain problem that they've had for some time. This gentleman had pain in his rib for a couple of years. He also was having some problem with the neurological brachial plexus type symptoms. So we needed to look at what was really going on with it, because I have found that a atlas subluxation can cause flat feet. So I like to look at the whole person and find out what's really going on with them. And then we just do that one time. I don't do that repetitiously. And then that gives us a good overall picture as to what's going on with that individual.
I see. Okay. Mr. Chairman, there are a number of other issues, but I think I'm satisfied that, that there's enough evidence here that we need to move forward.
Okay, thank you. And so I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we're going to give our patient a chance to clarify anything that needs to be clarified. So it sounds like your testimony was that when you found out that the patient had metastatic disease or potential metastatic disease, that you referred that patient pretty quickly for follow-up testing. Is that correct?
When I found that he was not responding to my care the way that I thought he should, and that he was actually progressing in his symptomatology, then I said, we need to do additional testing. We need to find out what's going on. Would you be amenable to getting an MRI done? And he said, yes. So I said, I sent him to the MRI because I had all of this information.
Okay, and you've also acknowledged today that you did receive a phone call on this patient, but you did not document who it was, and you thought it was appropriate to wait for a fax communication or another method.
Yes,
and that was early in care. That was earlier in the same month, around March 5th. Okay, and as a result of that, you had an early warning that this patient needed follow-up diagnostic imaging, and you chose to do, according to your treatment, diathermy and other contraindicated therapies on a patient who, if you would have known that this patient had potential metastatic disease, you probably would not have used diathermy on this patient. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and so so then fast forward, you know, several treatments, and later in the month of March, and the realized that the patient was not responding to care, and you appropriately ordered more testing at that point.
That is correct.
Okay, so at this point, I'm going to ask my board members if they have any questions for the patient, JD. Ms. Powell, you already had one. Why don't you start?
Just one, if I may, please. Did you have a copy of the report with you with the CD or just the CD?
It was just the CD.
And you never looked at it, obviously?
No, we went right up and brought it to him.
Oh, 2 days.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Dr. Knopf, any questions?
Yes. Patient JD, when do you recall the doctor reviewing your x-rays? It sounds like there's maybe a preliminary one done, and then they brought up the results of the x-rays later. Can you just describe?
It was 2 days later we both went in and sat down. Was it four? I'm sorry. 4 days later in March, we went in, brought it up on the big screen in his office, showed me some areas where he thought that my hip was a little off because of a knee surgery, and he was just saying how he would do to fix things.
Okay, and was there ever another review of the images after that, or was it that you recall there was no second review? And so the next step really was the referral for MRI around the 20th?
Well, yes. For us, I couldn't walk at the time. I was walking with walking sticks. On the 20th, I went in with her to talk to me because I couldn't walk. I was getting worse. They still started with the traction machine before we got to see him, and then they wanted us to move forward on the three things that they did, and I said, no, I want to talk to him. And that's when I walked in and we, you know, it's like, I can't walk. What is going on? And that's, I asked him, has this ever happened before? He said, no, he can't really do much more. He needs to see it. We need to get an MRI. And that's pretty much how that went.
Okay. No further questions.
Dr. Bennett, do you have any questions for the patient?
Not at this time.
Okay, so I just want to clarify, reading through the doctor's notes, it sounded like he did chiropractic adjustments to you. One of them included what's called an anterior thoracic move, where he might have given you a bear hug or he might have laid you on your back and adjusted your mid-back that way. And I want to make sure that your concerns are addressed here today. And as I read through the complaint, I saw that one of the issues that you had was that you felt like if the timeline of this could have been moved up, you could have went to Barrows quicker and you would not have ended up having a bad experience at Banner Desert. And so, you know, I want to know a little bit more about that, because what happened at Banner Desert, you know, is not something that relates necessarily to Dr. Greer, but I want to know why you connected those two together and it wasn't clear in the complaint.
Well, the way I feel about it is that the report said needs further imaging because they thought there was a mass there which was pushing out my rib. To me, when he adjusted me, that's when that mass got put into my spine and I lost being able to walk. So
you feel like you were directly injured as a result of the adjustments and treatment that he gave you?
Yes.
Or that your condition worsened as a result of it?
Yes, because the first x-rays says there's no, how did they word it, compression fractures. But after the MRI, I did have one.
Did you feel like anywhere proximal to one of your treatments, do you feel like you got an adjustment and felt worse in the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 4 hours? Did you notice anything along those lines, or are you just kind of looking back on it and saying, well, I wish we would have found this out sooner?
After the first adjustment, I did the set, when I went in for the second, I've mentioned that I was having a tingling feeling in my feet moving up. He kind of joked about something that he said earlier, that when I align you, you're going to start feeling things that maybe you haven't felt before because of your nerves and everything's going to work better. And so he alluded to, he's like, that's kind of everything starting to wake up and work.
So, okay, and is there a pending malpractice event happening right now? Is there? Okay. All right. So, at this point, I'm going to go ahead and give my board members one last chance to ask any questions they have for either the doctor or the patient, and then if you want to make any motions, we'll proceed forward. Anyone?
Dr. Geer, just a follow-up question. You reviewed the x-ray imaging earlier on. When did you become aware of the imaging report? I know you had the phone call, and then you weren't up at the office, and you might not have gotten to it. When did you become aware of the patient x-ray report?
It was several days later. The imaging report, after I saw the patient was not responding properly, and ordered the MRI, then I got back into the chart and I found the report was there.
So it was on or about the time of the referral for the MRI is when you found the report?
It was probably right after that, yeah, right after I referred to the MRI.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, one follow-up question. Dr. Geer, in your records of 315, which I believe was your handwriting, the record says that the patient reports that lower legs are very weak, fell three times since last adjustment. I'm sorry. In your record of 315, it states lower legs very weak, fell three times since last adjustment. you see that in the record?
Yes, I see that.
Is that your handwriting, sir?
No, that's one of my staff people.
Okay. And you are aware of motor loss, neurologic motor loss, as a fairly significant clinical finding?
I'm sorry, say that over again.
Are you aware that the presence of motor loss, I'm quite sure that you're aware of it, the presence of motor loss is a significant clinical finding that might be viewed as a red flag for contraindication to manipulation?
Yes, I'm aware of that, and I see this with patients all the time as I'm processing them through the correction of their problems. It usually resolves within just a day or two or a week or two, but in his case it did not. And therefore he was not responding in a normal manner, therefore I proceeded on to get further evaluations done.
You also continued to treat him on that day, did you not?
Just a couple of times, and then he didn't respond properly. So.
But on that day, sir, when the patient came to your clinic and said to you that he had weakness in his legs and had fallen three times since his last adjustment, you did not reevaluate him, you just manipulated him again.
Well, I always evaluate as I treat.
Can you show me where that's in the record?
Not evaluation, but I didn't write down that I did it. I wasn't being neurological.
Okay. All right. No further questions.
Okay. Does anybody want to make a motion?
Yes, I'll make the motion to move this to formal interview.
I second the motion.
Okay, is there any discussion?
Dr. Carino, members of the board, can you clarify, are you proceeding to formal interview on all eight allegations? And if you could articulate your specific concerns with the treatment.
Dr. Knopf, you made the initial motion, so would you like to clarify? If we look at a list of the allegations.
That's just what I was getting to. Thank you.
The first one is for incorrect diagnosis.
Sorry, I'm just reading through all the ones that we have. The basis for moving to a formal interview will be for, can I just state the allegations?
Yes.
All right.
Can I look on with you? I'm having some technical problems.
So the allegation number four, inadequate examination. Allegation five, incompetence. Allegation seven, failure to maintain adequate records. And allegation eight, unprofessional conduct.
And are there specific areas of concern in the aspects of the treatment?
It would be around examination, documentation,
okay, so we have clarified the first. Is that a friendly second? Okay, I think that it's important to include allegation number two in this potentially danger to the health and safety and welfare of the public as far as patient care. Specifically relating to timely referral to another specialty when information was received in the office, it was not documented properly, which relates to failure to maintain adequate records. Specifically, also, an adequate examination ties into that, which is allegation number four. So I'm looking at all allegations except for number six for malpractice.
So at all except for number six, okay. I will accept that as a friendly amendment to the motion.
Okay.
And may I have a second for the line? I'm here to say whether or not improper billing was included or not. Did you list Dr. Knopf?
I did not list improper billing, no.
I would suggest that that's something else we need to look at.
Okay, so we have 8 allegations. The only one that is excluded at this moment is number 6 for malpractice.
Yes.
Okay, so is that a friendly second to the amendment?
Yes, that's a friendly second.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to call for the question. I'll go ahead and forward this to formal interview. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the ayes have it. We're going to continue the investigation. You'll be invited back. You'll be under oath for testimony, and we'll continue. That'll be on a separate day, so thank you for coming today. Okay, we're going to take just
one housekeeping question.
Yes.
Do recommendations to go to formal hearing automatically come with the option of consent, or do you have to make that part of your record?
Well, we're going to formal interview, not formal hearing, but specifically regarding what part of consent?
Is the option of consent on the table?
Oh, a consent agenda for, yes. Yeah, that's always.
I didn't know if it was assumed or if you had to put it on the record.
Okay. Yeah, for clarification, we can engage in a consent agreement before the formal interview at that point. Okay, we're gonna take a quick break, just a few minutes. Okay, we're back from break. The matter before us today is Dr. Robert Gere, tab number 4, and case number 2019-013. Please introduce yourselves for the record.
Good
Robert Gere.
Hi, welcome.
Jeff Hunter, behalf of Hunter Gere.
Hi, Mr. Hunter. Thank you. Dr. Kolash, please give us a board briefing.
Dr. Gere, in case number 2019-013, allegations of malpractice and unprofessional conduct.
Hi, Mr. Hunter. Go ahead, and if you have anything you'd like to say in opening remarks.
Sure. There is an underlying malpractice lawsuit currently pending. Trial date is in May of this year up in Globe. Since receiving the initial information from the board, you can imagine there's been a lot of discovery in that malpractice suit. Additionally, we've obtained a number of subsequent medical records. The patient appeared initially to Dr. Gere with significant complaints of chronic back pain. Under similar deposition, he's confirmed that he had significant chronic back pain for years and years and years. I have been seeing another chiropractor up in Payson with not very good results, so we heard about Dr. Gere. Through some of the friends he hung out at the local bar up there, came to see Dr. Gere. Dr. Gere obtained x-rays. He did a static EMG, identified that there was a number of abnormalities in the spine. I've also had this case reviewed in reference to medical malpractice action by Dr. Longmuir, who has confirmed that there was significant back pathology. He underwent manipulations of the spine. Initially, it was reported that he was feeling better. His back pain was substantially reduced, which he hadn't had for a very long time.
Okay, we're going to use initials only for the patients to protect their identity.
I'm just litigation context. Sorry about that. Okay. He came in March, received a manipulation. He came back a number of days later saying he had side pain. He was instructed to put ice on it. Dr. Gere didn't, there was no indication that this was a rib fracture in terms of signs and symptoms that appeared to be secondary to the investigation. The patient then went to a Payson Regional Hospital, got an x-ray. X-ray demonstrated a rib fracture. Dr. Gere never saw this patient after that. The subsequent story on this is the patient had been instructed by the ER physician to follow up with his treating physician that week, which he did not do. He was also instructed to do breathing exercises. For those of you who have had any type of surgery, you may recall, you got the tube that you go into, and you got to raise the ping pong ball up to a certain level. He was given that. Testimony from the patient has been that he didn't follow through and do that exercise. About a week later, he was transported to the hospital with pneumonia. Spent 3 or 4 days in the ICU, was ultimately discharged. He is fine now, no sequela. He's suing for sequela, but there's no medical or any other physician saying that there's anything additional wrong with him. He's fine now, he's walking up to 3, 4, 5 miles every day. His back pain is better. And that's the status of the underlying medication.
Thank you. Dr. Kolash, is the patient signed in to speak or present today?
It is. This patient has not signed in.
Okay.
Let me, if I can add one other aspect to this. Is when the doctor got notification of the underlying lawsuit, we did not have the subsequent records. There is a disconnect in the records we did get where the patient indicated he suffered a rib fracture on a day he was not being treated by Dr. Gere. Although in those records at Bayes and Mitchell, he indicated that he felt pain on the manipulation. So we investigated whether there was an alternative cause. We looked for alternative signs of trauma, bruising, etc., that may indicate that this patient had fallen at home or maybe fell out of a ladder or something that he wasn't telling us. We were not able to find any alternative cause. Dr. Gere, in his deposition, was asked the question, how do you think the rib fracture occurred? And Dr. Gere's word testimony was, given that we can't find an alternative cause at which we investigated, not understanding the consistency, that the evidence points to that the riprap would probably occur during one of the evaluations.
Thank you. Now, as I looked through the board meeting materials, I had a hard time finding that Banner Payson Medical Center radiology report that should have been dated 3/18/2018. Does anybody else have that, or did I just miss it? Okay. Do you have that? Can you provide that to us?
I provide the board a complete copy of the Payson Regional Medical Center for the ER visit, as well as the subsequent in-hospital admission where he's treated for sepsis. The board wishes to see. I can also provide the board a complete copy of the VA records where this patient went subsequent follow-up after his release from the hospital.
I believe we have a lot of the VA records, but I'm going to go ahead and ask my board members if they have any questions at this point. Any follow-up questions? Dr. Knopf?
Dr. Gere, do you remember any visits with the patient where ER had pain following any adjustments? I know that you treated a number of times between January and March of that year. Were there any visits where the patient experienced discomfort while in your clinic?
Should be in my progress notes.
If they had any adverse reaction to an adjustment, it would have been listed there?
Most likely. I often have patients say that they are sore where I make a correction in the joint.
Okay, but to the best of your knowledge, you don't remember a time or following a visit where the patient experienced discomfort beyond what you normally see?
No.
I realize that this is now a couple of years ago at this point as well.
Okay, any further questions?
Yes.
Dr. Bennett.
Actually, I'm looking at an entry on 217 where I'm a little bit confused about whose handwriting is whose, but I think that you wrote that the patient reported be improving, but he vomited after the first treatment. Was that your note, sir?
Let me look and see. Which note are you referring to in 217?
I believe it's your progress note.
I understand. Which part of that? Patient states, that was written by one of my assistants.
You're referring to the sentence that says, did vomit, et cetera?
Yes, that's what I'm referring to.
That was written by his assistant.
Okay. All right. So when there are adverse responses, it gets recorded in your records by you or by someone else.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Now, this patient, what working diagnosis? I'm reviewing the records, and the patient seemed to be present with several complaints, low back issues. I see there was a knee issue, left hand numbness. I did not see, prior to your treatment, any complaint in the thoracic spine. Was there any complaint that the patient had in the thoracic spine?
Yes. Diagnoses that I made in the ICD-10 on thoracic was a M9902, 47.23M, and M5426.
And that's present in this grid, handwritten grid?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And you, did you perform an examination on the patient's thoracic spine?
I based that on, excuse me, on history and on x-ray findings and on his palpation evaluation.
So if I understand you correctly, then the part that applies to my question is the palpation part. Right.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
So you said that you based your diagnosis upon x-ray findings, history, and palpation.
Yes.
And so am I correct in concluding that the examination component was the palpation part?
Yes.
Okay. And when you said x-ray findings, were you aware in the patient's x-ray findings of wedging in the thoracic spine present in the radiology report?
Yes, I often see that.
Yes. Would that be a possible indication of bone density issues?
Of what?
Bone density issues, relative contraindications to manipulation.
Well, I see bone density issues all the time.
I understand, sir, as we all do.
All the time.
Yeah, we all do. My question is it your understanding that the presence of wedging as an x-ray finding represents a potential contraindication that should be ruled out?
You mean to not manipulate?
No, sir, that's not what I'm asking.
Okay, that's not what you're asking.
I'm asking you if you were aware, cognizant, whatever, of a risk factor in the form of a wedge deformity on an x-ray finding that would suggest a relative contraindication that should be ruled out as a risk factor prior to manipulation.
Only if there's a lot of muscle splinting and reactive symptoms in related to that compressed fracture area. Other than that, I see it as an indication for manipulation.
Okay. And you, when you did the initial examination, there were some range of motion studies that were performed, were there not? There are several pages of cervical range of computer, cervical range of motion.
Yes, myelovision studies.
Yes, of the cervical and lumbar spine.
And thoracic spine, yes.
Can you show me where the thoracic spine...
myelovision?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's part of the torso, that's part of the thoracic lumbar evaluation.
So what you're saying is that the myovision documents that identify cervical and lumbar spine are inclusive of the thoracic spine?
There's a cervical spine evaluation.
Yes, sir.
And then there's a thoracic lumbar spine. They just call it the lumbar spine. There's a thoracic lumbar spine in myovision testing for dynamic range of motion testing.
So you're stating that you did not perform a thoracic range of motion test because it was included in the thoracolumbar portion that is called the lumbar portion?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, I understand that. When the patient came in and complained of a 10 over 10 rib pain, you recommended cryotherapy to the costochondral area. Did you at that point in time take note of this and perform a regional exam to see what might be going on?
I do that. I probably didn't record it, but I do it with every patient on every visit to determine exactly what's going on. I may be remiss in not recording all the details.
Okay. All right, so you're saying that in this case you did perform a regional exam, but you just didn't write it in the record.
Yes, just a few days earlier, when he came in for another type of evaluation, he stated that he had low back pain from fifth grade. He fell on his pelvis backward. He had left knee, then meniscus, torn meniscus 3 months prior to seeing him. And he had a painful left shoulder. About 1993, lifting barbells with arm numbness and grip strength involved. He had a painful right shoulder, approximately 2015, where he tripped and fell on his right hand. He had many injuries in his life.
Yes, sir. And in fact, you previously had performed a documentary examination for chronic pain for the purpose of an issuance of a medical marijuana card for this patient.
Yes.
So definitely this is a multifactorial, very complicated case.
Yes.
My specific question, however, and I want to come back to the knee in 1 second, but just one more if you'll indulge me, Mr. Chairman. But with regard to that, when a patient leaves at a particular level of symptom of treatment response and reports with a much higher elevated, like 10 out of 10, do you not concur that it would be appropriate at that point in time to reevaluate the situation and see what's going on?
Well, I do.
And then, but so you're saying you did that, but you didn't write it in the record?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Last question. On the 14th of February, you billed code 27550, which I understand is a closed treatment for a knee dislocation, and you billed $1,982 for that. Is that correct?
Yes, but I'm sorry. Say that over again. The correct?
On the 14th of February, date of service, you used service CPT code 27550 and billed for a fee of $1,982. And I was trying to find in the record what on earth that was. Can you tell me what that was?
Was that, I'm sure I don't have that in front of me, billing in front of me. Was that for the shoulder or for the knee?
The code is specific to the knee, sir.
The knee, yes. I did a manipulation of the knee to reduce the partial malfunction of the knee.
So you have a subluxated knee?
Malfunction of the knee.
You have a subluxated knee. Is that correct?
I palpated it and I evaluated it and I made the corrective thrust to reposition the tibia in relation to the femur. It was a subluxation, not a luxation or a dislocation.
Okay.
There is no code for reducing a subluxation. It's all one code.
So for that manipulation, you billed $1,982?
Yes.
I see. Okay, I have no further questions.
Okay, so looking through the patient records, around page 8 in our board meeting materials, I see that you did have the patient sign a consent agreement to treatment, which did indicate that there's a possibility that things can go wrong, including fractures.
Yes.
So thank you for that. I'm going to go ahead and ask my board members if they think this is something that we can handle today, or if we should continue it to a formal interview, if more information is needed to be gathered, or potentially disciplinary action. From what I've heard so far, it sounds like we have some concerns in addition to a malpractice and unprofessional conduct allegations. It sounds like we have some new allegations of maybe improper billing and record keeping. I'll tell you that in the past, when there is a malpractice case pending, sometimes we have delayed handling of these types of things unless we think that it is imperative for patient safety to render our decisions in the near future. Sometimes we wait until the malpractice claim is handled and disposed of before we bring it back. And so I'm going to look to counsel for any guidance on that. If
that is up to the board, Dr. Greeno, members of the board. There's no statute that would require you to do that.
Okay. So one of the options then is to continue this in any manner that we want to, and or dispose of it today any way that we wish. Does anybody want to make a motion?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I will move that we is the correct term table this issue to pending.
You can continue the investigation, and bring it back on a later date with continued allegations of record keeping and improper billing, and we can kind of go through it again. Or if you think that it may rise to the level of any type of disciplinary action, which would include probationary or otherwise, or then we would have to move it to a formal interview to take that step.
My sense, and I don't know about my colleagues, but my sense is that this we're not really concerned about a threat to the public here. However, there is litigation pending, and I would like to see the outcome of that litigation prior to determining whether any disciplinary action or what action would be appropriate for the board.
And so maybe one consideration then is that if the malpractice portion of this is really related toward treatment of the patient and potentially a broken rib, do you see that as important in this case or a natural consequence of getting adjusted, or maybe not even related, or do you feel like the record-keeping and improper billing portion is really the bigger concern here that could be dealt with prior to the malpractice claim?
The presence or absence of a fractured rib does not necessarily mean that the standard of care was violated.
Okay.
So that's not my concern. My concern is that there may be information come to light that would help us inform us with regard to appropriate actions to move forward with after the litigation had happened. And I do have concerns beyond just record keeping and billing.
Okay. All right. So you're. It sounds like you're making a motion then to add a few allegations of record keeping and improper billing, and continuing the investigation in the form of a formal interview.
That's my motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
So moving it to a formal interview or continuing it? You want to move forward, or are you tabling it pending the outcome of the civil case?
Well, either way, I mean, if we move it to a formal interview and we bring this back after the conclusion of the malpractice verdict.
So you don't want it to come back next month?
No. Correct.
After the... I understood the motion to be the earliest you would see it would be after... You would not see it until after the malpractice litigation has completed.
Correct. That's the intent.
And could I have you repeat the additional allegations?
Billing and documentation.
Billing record
keeping. Yeah.
So improper record keeping and improper billing. And specifically with the improper record keeping, it would relate to not documenting evaluations, which he testified to today, and then improper billing. There were concerns about charges that were not explained, what they were billed for, which included a $1,900 knee procedure. Okay, so we have a first, and did we get a second on that?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Hearing none, the ayes have it. We're gonna bring this back at a later date, later in the year, after the malpractice case is dealt with and disposed of, and then we'll continue the investigation.
Just for your benefit, in terms of the timing, the trial is set for May until absent death. It's going to go forward.
Okay.
Not going to be a continuance. After that trial gets done, motions for new trial, et cetera, we're probably looking at absent an appeal, things getting wrapped up probably sometime in August.
Okay.
It's a defense verdict or whatever it is. So just for the time, if you're looking at resetting a hearing at some point, probably looking at best in the fall sometime.
Okay, and in a case like this, would you like to have a potential consent agreement arrived at for this case as well, or do you want to wait until, because if there's a verdict against the doctor for malpractice, it'll come back in front of us anyway for that purpose. So that I'm just thinking out loud here.
My understanding, based upon prior dialogue with Mr. Morrison, was that the option of consent agreement is always on the table.
It could be, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, so we're going to move on to tab number 5 in the matter of Dr. Ali Hatem. I hope I pronounced your name correctly, Mr. Morrison.
Yes.
can introduce yourselves for the record. If anybody wants to recuse themselves, this would be the time.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll be recusing myself.
Okay.
Dr.
All right.
Yes.
So we'll start with the board brief by Dr. Kolash.
Dr. Ali Hatem, with the complaint number 2020-007 for the allegations of use of drugs or alcohol, conviction of a felony or misdemeanor, pending criminal prosecution, failure to complete continuing education, failure to provide information to the board timely, and unprofessional conduct.
Mr. Morrison.
Yes, we believe we're here because of a untimely report, and we certainly admit to that. Doctor was under the mistaken impression that he was supposed to report arrest upon conviction or upon plea, and not necessarily upon the arrest itself. And so we'd like to note for the board that this is a self-reported matter. He did report it upon all his plea agreements and did report to the board, not at a time of renewal. So he did understand there was a requirement to report. What he didn't understand completely is that it was within 10 days of the arrest versus 10 days of the agreement or conviction. And so that's number one. Number two is we'd like to point to the board and let them know that all requirements from the criminal matters, from the arrest for the DUI, from the arrest for the disorderly conduct, have been satisfied to the criminal court. And I believe you still have a full interval.
One more month.
Still has 1 more month with an interlock device, and then all the requirements will be completed. He's been through the classes for both the DUI and the disorderly conduct, completed them, and one of the reasons we submitted a report from his employer is to assure this board that there are no risks to the public or dangers to the public. He's been a stellar employee, and professionally, none of these events have affected his professional life. And of course, as an addition, doctor would like me to indicate that there was not a good time of his life, and regrets all of the mistakes that he made with these two incidents, and assures the board nothing will occur in the future.
Thank you.
One other thing with respect to the continuing education and the record keeping, we're going to go back and search records to make sure that we submitted everything, because when my office submitted the proof of the 12 hours for 17 and 18, for some reason we didn't have a document concerning record keeping. Doctor's going to go back and check his records to see if he has it. Obviously, if he doesn't, he'll immediately correct that problem.
Thank you. So I want to thank you for calling the office and attempting to self-report, even though you didn't understand the law at the time, and so thanks for that. You know, one of the things that we've done in the past to allow you to continue to practice would be to put you on some type of probationary status, we've sent docs to addictionologists to, you know, see if there's a problem that could creep into their practice. You know, do you have any documentation? I didn't see what type of, if you did any proof of a diversion program or anything along those lines. Did I miss it?
Was you it in may the, have. I thought we submitted the completion of all the four. I mean, this is what we submitted.
Okay.
I believe we submitted a proof of completion of the courses, and certainly these were one-time incidents in a period of time in his life. There's no evidence of habitual or addictive behavior.
Okay. We have the arrest records, and we have the continuing education information and so on, but I just didn't see any kind of letterhead, you know, from a facility showing that he completed any kind of counseling or follow-up, you know, treatment?
I believe, and I don't know if we actually submitted that. I'd have to go through all these papers.
Okay. Okay.
But I do remember seeing a court document that indicated he had completed the program. And I would assume that whatever they received would also be sufficient for this body as well.
Okay. So, I guess a point of clarification, Ms. Williams, domestic violence is not under our purview?
Domestic violence, if it's a misdemeanor conviction, is not moral turpitude. And I don't believe, based on what I read, that there's been a conviction at all. It sounds like he's on the deferred prosecution, which means if he completes certain requirements, then that will never be a conviction on his record, correct?
And those requirements have been completed.
That's not,
Okay.
be something you could. And then, from what I could tell, the plea agreement for the DUI was misdemeanor, not felony.
Correct.
Which also is not moral turpitude.
Okay. All right. So, board members, do you have any questions for the doctor or his counsel?
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Wayne Bennett, can you summarize the extent of the remediation you went through relative to the what actions you went through per the requirements by the court relative to the DUI?
So I was told that I needed to take some classes. I needed to have an interlock. And I also went and spent some time in jail. It was 3 days total. Two of them were work release. I finished all my classes, and the interlock is out. It was scheduled for 6 months. So next month and last month.
Okay. And what were the classes that you took?
DUI classes. I don't know. I mean, I have the certification that I...
Approximately how many classroom hours would this have entailed?
It was 20... Or I'll double check.
That's what I wanted to know, is just what the extent was. Have you been evaluated by an addictologist or anyone professionally with regard to risk for recidivism and that kind of stuff?
At that facility, they do an initial screening and everything like that. Everything's fine.
Okay. And do you know who that was performed by?
I can't remember his name.
I'm sorry, I don't mean his name. Do you know the credential of the person who performed?
Oh, it's STI, Scottsdale Treatment Institute.
Do you know the kind of professional? Was it a clinical psychologist? Was it an addictologist? Do you have any idea what kind of person it was?
I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't like some beat cop that sat and asked you some questions. It was somebody who was formally evaluated.
Yeah,
okay.
That facility is
important.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so at this point you still have an interlock. You're still not quite done complying with what they've required from you.
That's the absolute last thing. I'm supposed to be receiving a letter from the DMV letting you know when I can take it out. So it's sometime from now until next month.
Okay, so is your testimony today that this was a isolated bad night that you had and we don't need to worry about this anymore?
Absolutely. First time, last time ever.
Do you continue to drink?
Socially.
Okay. And you haven't had any trouble since then?
Don't drive, no.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion that we break into executive session to receive legal advice. Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. We are breaking into executive session at 11:29 a.m. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Okay, the time is 11:35. We're back in regular session, out of executive session. Does anybody have any further questions for the doctor about any type of treatment he had or not?
Yes, I have a question for you, please. Was anger management in any way a part of your treatment at the treatment center, and could we obtain those records if we don't have them?
In those domestic nonviolent classes, what they're called, they incorporated things like that in there.
He does have a certificate on his phone for that class.
Okay.
I apologize if the certificates aren't in there. I'll go back and check my office, but I can assure you we saw them. He knows he sent them to us since he's getting them to you.
Okay. Does anybody want to make a motion?
So I move that, Mr. Chairman, I move that we continue this action until such time as we receive documentation of the certification of compliance of the program, and revisit this at that point in time.
Is there a second?
A second motion.
To clarify, you want records for both the DUI classes and the
yes. We want certification of completion. We want to know the extent of remediation in both areas.
Okay. So we have a first and a second. I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the ayes have it, and we're going to continue this on another day. So thank you in advance for cooperating and getting us all the documentation we need. Okay. Are you good with your mouse there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I thought you
had
a problem.
It's a very attractive one.
Okay. All right, let's move on to tab number six then. This tab is whether to open in the matter of Dr. Darren Grozier.
I'm looking to see if Dr. Grozier signed in, and I don't have documentation that he's signed in.
Okay, and then what about the complainant, SJ? Is she here? Okay, so nobody signed in. Okay. All right, well, let's go ahead and continue anyway then. If we can get a board briefing, Dr. Kolash.
My mouse. So the medical board forwarded a complaint that they had received, and the patient alleges that she was charged for services not rendered. The written complaint is in your board packet, along with some records.
Okay. Thank you. So under whether to open, you can see that there's no case number assigned yet. You know, this is where we would make a decision if we felt like we needed to address any of these concerns, or we can take no action. As I read through this, you know, I read the complaint. The complainant stated that he had no soul, you know, was a liar. I guess, you know, I would like to see, we don't have a complete set of patient records from regarding the treatment that this patient had. As for as many complaints as she had, she's alleging that, you know, treatments didn't happen. She doesn't agree with the diagnosis. She thinks that there was a lot of fabrication, it sounds like. But without her being here today, it's difficult to ask her any questions. So, board members, what's your pleasure? We can dispose of this today, or we can continue the investigation and open up a complaint.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman, with regard to where is this with regard to the issue of being a fee dispute? Is there something besides this that would justify us taking this up as an issue, or would this all fall into the
category? So we're prohibited from hearing fee disputes, but it is a Lerner and Rowe case, which makes me think that it may be a personal injury type case or something along those lines, but we don't have all the information to make that call. So, but as I read through it, I did suspect at some point there was a fee dispute that led to all of this, but I'm speculating now, so I don't like to do that.
I would like to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, that we move to dismiss. As I read through this file, there's so many inconsistencies and things that she thought were misdiagnoses and or positive findings were just statements of this is a test.
Okay, so just for clarification, because there is no case number assigned, it's a take no action motion then instead of a dismissal because there's no case yet.
Thank you. A take no action.
Okay, so you found her complaint to be consistently inconsistent?
Yes, and not lucid at times.
Okay.
I think either she and or both the doctors should have been here if there was anything here for us to. So we could question some of this, and we can't. So just to me, postponing it is going to be the same thing. I don't see where it would benefit either the doctor or the patient.
Yeah, and the potential allegations are making false statements, improper billing, and unprofessional conduct, but without treatment records, we can't even evaluate any of those things. And so is there a second to that motion of taking no action?
I'll make the second.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Hearing none, we will take no action. And we'll move on to tab number 7. In the matter of Dr. Herbert Schillerstrom. Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you, Mr. Chairman. Good
morning. Hi, if you can please have a seat, introduce yourself for the recorded record.
Yes, I am Dr. Herb Schillerstrom here.
Okay.
To be present here. My attorney would have been here this morning, but he was not given any type of notice. And,
okay. Well, hold on. We're gonna start with Dr. Kolasch here, and he's gonna tell us why we're here today.
Okay. So the reason for asking Dr. Schillerstrom here was during the license renewal process, I review every person who is on probation. During review of the probation file, revealed that he was non-compliant with some of the orders in that probation file, and so that is the reason for moving it forward. As far as notification that Dr. Schillerstrom has mentioned, I sent a letter to him in December, and I spoke to him in December, and I talked to his attorney in December when I drafted the letter and sent it.
Okay, and so my recollection of what happened was that you were put on a probationary status approximately a year ago, and you were here with your attorney, and you were taking notes, and you complied with a lot of the verbal probationary terms that were given to you at that time, but then you say that you were not properly served or never got the probationary order in writing, which included a $5,000 payment that was supposed to be paid within 6 months going back, you know, that would have put us somewhere in the middle of the year of 2019. And so then you tried to renew your license, and then we found out that there was a compliance issue. And so you're aware now as of December that you had a $5,000 payment that was required within 6 months of that time. And I think in fairness to you, now that you are aware that this is the case, we can do a couple of things. You know, we can maybe start the clock from December or from today and give you 6 months to pay that $5,000 if it's agreeable to you, or come up with payment terms somehow within that 6 month time frame. So is that something that you are agreeable to?
Yes, I'm agreeable to that, Mr. Chairman. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. And so, Ms. Williams, do we need to do anything else?
Are you going to just make an order extending the time period in which he is to, so modifying a previous order, is that what you want to do, or do you want to do a consent agreement and get Dr. Schillerstrom to sign it? You can do it either way. You can modify your existing board order to allow him an additional amount of time to pay. And if not paid in that time, then the board can take further action.
Well, in either case, we accomplish the same thing.
Yes, you do.
Okay, board members, what's your pleasure? Anybody any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it just makes sense to extend and modify the old arrangement.
Okay, and so that modification specifically from today or from the date in December when he was aware?
Are we able to just say by the 1st of June? That's approximately 6 months.
Okay, is that agreeable to you, Dr. Schillerstrom, to give you until June 1st to pay the $5,000 fee that should have been paid 6 months ago?
Yes. Let me ask the board, is there a possibility I can make payments on that, like $1,000 a month, per month? Is that a possibility?
That's completely, I don't want to speak for the whole board, but that sounds completely reasonable to me. If you can make $1,000 payments, starting with, when would you like to start? The middle of February?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I would sign it. So
starting in February 15th and then monthly after that, so February, March, April, May, until you're paid to the $5,000 mark, which will put you somewhere around June.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is that agreeable to the board?
The point of clarification, I assume that this does not change the probationary status beginning and end. Is that correct?
How long was the probationary term originally set for?
Two years.
So we're still within the 2 year time frame,
yes.
And then he will have an opportunity to petition for early termination once all the terms are met, if I read the protocol correctly for the original board order. Okay, so we'll make that amendment to your order. And then there's a second matter regarding licensure now.
Can you vote on? Can you make a
motion? Okay. So I'm making that motion that we offer $1,000 monthly payments starting February 15th until the payment is made of a total of $5,000 and extending the original board order time frame so that he can be in compliance with that. Is there a second?
A second motion.
Okay.
For clarification, do we just want to say until June 30th, since he won't be starting payments until the middle of February?
That's a friendly amendment.
Okay.
June 30th is fine. Okay. Second?
Second.
Okay, Ms. Powell seconds. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, do we need a roll call vote since it's probationary? Or
no,
does
you
it matter?
Have the existing discipline, you're just extending.
Okay, so the ayes, any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and grant you an additional time frame to make that payment. Now, there is a licensure matter, correct?
That's not agendized, but he was timely with his license renewal.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So that concludes why we're here today, and thanks for all you've done to comply with the probationary order up to this point.
Yes, you have the education requirements done through Dr. Greg Friedman's.
Those submitted.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
December.
Okay, thank you very
right.
much.
Thank you.
One other thing I'm going to ask you just to clarify, because I'm in quick writing. First payment on this would be due when?
February 15th.
February 15th. And then I will send those like in a cashier's check and
okay.
my AZ number on it. And you will get those and I'll stay in touch with you.
And you will receive a letter from me.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm pretty good about staying in touch with you. I do call you back whenever you speak to me.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Peter. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. We're going to go on to our licensure tab. Tab number 8 is Dr. I'm going to mess this name up. I'm going to try Alexei Polikov. Okay, thank you. Come on up. Introduce yourself for the recorded record. And Dr. Kolash.
May I use your first name?
Yes. My name is Dr. Alexei Polikov. Alexei is completely fine.
Alexei, okay.
Has applied for licensure. By universal recognition with physical medicine modalities and therapeutic procedures and acupuncture. His application is complete.
Okay, thank you. So you had a hiccup in your past, which is, is that something you'd like to talk about today that you can assure us will not be an issue? I know it was almost 20 years ago.
It was something 20 years ago what happened. I'm deeply ashamed of this. I've been a completely different person. I have a family, I have a kid, and it's, you know, I've been a chiropractic physician for 20 years. I've been practicing. I love what I do. I've been participating in Medicare and insurance programs. It's never going to happen again, and I live by the good dentures, and something happened 20 years ago, and I live with this for the rest of my life.
Okay, what do you plan on?
It's not indication of my character, and it's not indication of my behavior.
If your license is approved, what are your plans? What do you want to do when you get your license, if you get it?
I'd love to continue the chiropractic. I'm either going to associate with somebody or try to open up my own business, depending on what's going to happen.
Okay, board members, do you have any questions for the doctor?
Do that.
Dr. Polyakov, Dr. Wayne Bennett, have there been any other board actions or complaints against you in, say, the last 10 years?
No, it has not. It's only been related to this incident 20 years ago. I've been under probation and suspension in the state of Illinois and state of Ohio when it all happened. I've been clear and unrestricted license ever since.
Have you, that's great. Have you any other professional affiliations? Have you been a member of your state association or any national organization or anything of that nature?
I believe so, and I continue to be. I do not think, I haven't been Illinois Professional Association. I'm planning to become the Arizona Association member.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, somebody want to make a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to grant licensure upon payment of appropriate fees.
Is there a second?
Second motion.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, you'll be granted licensure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Tab number 9 is a matter of Dr. Troy Eldridge, who's been waiting patiently on the phone.
Please unmute your phone, Dr. Eldridge.
Good morning, this is Troy Eldridge.
Hi, Dr. Guarino with the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Thanks for your patience. So, Dr. Kolash, do you have a briefing?
Dr. Eldridge applied for licensure by endorsement. His application is complete. During the application process, staff became aware that, of an earlier arrest. Dr. Eldridge stated that he did not disclose the arrest because at the time he was filling out the application, he did not recall the incident. He later submitted his recollection of the incident and the circumstances, and that is in your board materials.
So, Dr. Eldridge, this was your incident was about 30 years ago?
Yeah, 31.
Okay. So you are aware, if you were granted licensure today, you will have to report this every year. Don't assume that we know it just because we're talking about it today. It looks like a speeding situation back then.
Yeah.
Okay, board members, do you have any questions?
No questions.
Okay.
I'll make the motion to grant licensure upon payment of appropriate fees.
Second motion.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Hearing none, Dr. Eldridge, you're going to get a license in Arizona. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate the time.
Okay.
And your understanding.
All right. So you don't have to stay on the phone anymore. You can hang up if you like, or you can listen in. It's a public meeting. The next matter is Dr. Sam Porian.
Dr. Porian has signed in.
Okay, come on up. Hi. Have a seat. Introduce yourself for the record, please.
Thank you very much. Dr. Sam Porian.
Okay. Dr. Porian has applied for licensure by examination with physical medicine modalities and therapeutic procedures. His application is complete. In his application, Dr. Porian disclosed that he had been convicted in 2012, and that the judgment of guilt was set aside later.
Okay. Thank you for disclosing. I appreciate your honesty. Do you have anything you would like to say to the board at this time?
Absolutely not. I just basically just wanted to say that it doesn't represent who I am or what I've done in the last nearly 10 years. So I am who I am because of it, and I plan on just moving forward and kind of spread chiropractic.
Okay. Board members, any questions?
Yes, Dr. Wayne Bennett, Dr. Plan. What were the circumstances under which this whole thing came down, and why were the charges not followed through upon?
Basically, we disagreed with characterizations of police reports and of that nature. I was in college, I was naive, trusting the wrong people is ultimately what it comes down to. But in any case, it's not ignorance of the law is no excuse, so I paid my dues, and I am here today because of it.
So you were in possession of marijuana at the time?
Correct.
And you say you paid some dues. What were those dues that you paid?
Well, on my own, of course, I went to a substance abuse class. It was there at St. Louis. In addition, I did some restitution as well as community service.
Okay. And you have, are you a new grad, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Palmer Davenport?
Palmer Davenport, correct.
And after your conviction and prior to attending Palmer College, what did you do?
Actually, that's a really good question. I ended up starting my own business, waiting for my probate and stuff to be completed. And then that is actually when I found chiropractic. I was looking into naturopathic medicine, osteopathic medicine, didn't know the difference between any of them. Came across some really, really good people to kind of share chiropractic with me, and that's kind of been my path ever since.
And your career plan at this point is what?
We'll be working under an esteemed chiropractor over in Flagstaff. He's got 40 years under his belt. He's a purist, and he's a principal chiropractor, and I couldn't be any happier.
And that would be whom?
His name is Dr. Dahl.
Okay. We all know Dr. Dahl.
Yes.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Okay. Does anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make the motion to grant licensure upon payment of appropriate fees.
Second motion.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, you'll be granted a license upon payment of fees. Thank you. Under our tab letter I, board business, tab number 11, we have an executive director's report by Dr. Kolash.
One of the things that has been going on is the universal licensure, and just a report that I provided to the governor's office last month. We have received 7 applications for a licensure by universal recognition. I had approved 2 previously because there were no Mars on the record. You just approved 1 that I said could possibly happen in the month of January, and you have denied 0. There are 4 applications pending or incomplete in our files. So it is being utilized, but not as to the extent as other venues.
Okay, great.
That was the other part of my report was to just bring your attention to some of the bills that have been working through. The second page that has 2 bills, I neglected to put on the agenda, so we can't discuss those 2, but it is in your report back. The other 3 have moved forward in their committees. I don't have a date for when they're going to be reconsidered or considered again.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, at this point, I will make a call to the public. We are not allowed to respond to anything that you say, but this is your chance to go ahead and tell us how you feel about the meeting. If there's anything you'd like to say publicly, it'll be part of the public record and recorded. So I like to start with the introverts first to give them a chance to speak, because the extroverts always try to steal the attention. Anybody? Start over on this side. Any comments? Okay, you can ask questions. We just can't answer. Anybody on this side? Okay, thanks for coming. I need a final motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Motion.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the meeting is called at noon.